Thank you, Dan. Did y'all wear your running shoes today?
We're running away.
We're going to have a race. But that's what I'm going to talk a little bit about this evening. Is endurance and our need to help each other out as brothers and sisters. So now that I'm done, you can all go home. No. No, because we need to hear the word, and we need each other, and I need you all to help me on this path that we're on, this path called life, and to help me to endure till my end days, till my death, so that I might be able to obtain the prize that I call eternal life. I think I'll start out with a reading out of a book called Locking Arms, and it is written by a man called Stu Weber, who was an Army Ranger and went through Ranger training. And a lot of his writings have to do with men locking arms with each other in men's ministries and such. And this is out of a chapter called What Old Men Remember, Together is Better. Or as I heard right before I stood up, that old men don't remember much. But the things that we do remember are those things that are ingrained within our brains that stick there. And what I found out over my brief period of life, which is getting longer by the gray hairs that I have, is the way that we bond with each other is by going through experiences with each other, whether male or female, that when we go through especially tough times together, we bond. How far did we run that day? I'll never know. After so many hills, after so many miles, after so many turns through scrub brush and stands of scrawny pine, we became mindless running machines, lifting one foot after another, after another, after another. We all started well enough. The cadence was right. We were young. We were strong. We were soldiers. It was even exhilarating in a funny kind of way. The troops moved well. We found our rhythm. But the sun flamed high. But the sun flamed even higher in a brassy sky. The packs bit into our shoulders. Our rifles grew heavier by the mile. And the dirt trail stretched endlessly on. We'd been running every day, but this was something else. We'd been sweating from the time we rolled out of the rack before daybreak, but now moisture drained from every pore in our bodies. Sure, this was the physical training stage of U.S. Army Ranger School, and we expected exertion, even exhaustion, but this was no morning PT rah-rah run in t-shirts. It was something of a nightmare. We ran in full uniform, loaded packs, helmets, boots, rifles, the works. As usual, the word was, you go out together, you stick together, you work as a unit, and you come in together. If you don't come in together, don't bother to come in. For a boy from Apple Country of Washington State, the South Georgia heat felt like a soggy wool poncho draped over the top of my fatigues. The sun seared down on our helmets, burned into the metal of our nearly obsolete M14s, drove hot needles in the exposed skin of the back of our necks. We ran through rolling hills, kicking up clouds of powdery dust that stung our eyes and choked our throats. Somewhere along the way, through a fog of pain, thirst, and fatigue, my brain registered something strange about our formation. Two rows ahead of me, I noticed one of the guys out of sync. a big, raw-boned redhead named Sanderson. His legs were pumping, but he was out of step with the rest of us. Then his head began to loll from side to side. This guy was struggling, close to losing it. Had anyone else noticed? Yes, someone had. Without missing a step, the ranger on Sanderson's right reached over and took the distressed man's rifle. Now one of the rangers was packing two weapons, his own and Sanderson's. The big redhead did better for a while. The platoon kept moving, jaws slack, eyes glazed, legs pushing like pistons, but then the head began to sway again. This time, the ranger on the left reached over, removed Sanderson's helmet, tucked it under his own arm, and continued to run. All systems go. Our boots thudded along the dirt trail in heavy unison, tromp, 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 tromp. Sanderson was hurting, really hurting. He was buckling, going down. But no, two soldiers behind him lifted the pack off his back, each taking a strap in his free hand. Sanderson gathered his remaining strength, squared his shoulders, and the platoon continued to run all the way to the finish line. We left together, we returned together, and all of us were the stronger for it. Together is better. The fact is, there was no such thing as lone rangers in rangers. In ranger school, sorry. If we fell, we'd fall together. If we survived, it was because we locked arms. As Christians and as the body of Christ, we need to help each other along our way, along the path in the race of endurance. I'd like to open up and start in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. A lot of my readings are short. I've got two verses I'd like to read. It'd be the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 24 and 25, where Paul states, "Know ye not, they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." In track and field, when you're running a race, you run it to win. You run it for a medal, or a ribbon, or a trophy, those things that are corruptible. But we're in this race of life as Christians to finish the race. We don't have to come in first. And the prize that we obtain is eternal life. It's not corruptible, and it's there. I'd also like to go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. First two verses. In Hebrews, Paul also says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we partook of the flesh and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning, and we heard several testimonies. We had a cloud of witnesses of how God worked in their lives. And we also have witnesses of how God has worked in our lives. With so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Sometimes we have the weight of sin and mistakes we've made in our life that weigh down upon us like this fellow's pack did. And we need brothers and sisters who come alongside of us and help lift us up. Help us to get straightened out and to help us to keep running on that path. Run it with patience. I know that you all can tell by my great physique that I used to be a distance runner, which is true about the distance running. I thought it would be something to do. In elementary school, sometimes I'd play the games. Lots of times I would just run around the playground in one big circle. So I decided in my freshman year that I would start running the mile. And it's an endurance race. And you run it with patience. You don't get in a real big hurry or you'll never make it to the finish line. We had this one young man that wanted to do that also. The gun would go off, and he'd take off 100 miles an hour every time. And he wouldn't slow down. And he never finished the race. Not one time. We even talked to him and tried to explain things to him. The coaches talked to him. But it's like us a lot of times in our race and in the endurance that we have. We take off busting out 100 miles an hour. And we try to get talked to slow us down a little bit, to keep us on track, maybe is a better way of saying it. Sometimes we don't listen. And like I said, every race this guy took off the same way. He was so far out in front of everybody, and about a quarter way to three-fourths of the way through the race, he was done. Every time. It's a race that we need to keep running to obtain the prize. Because we need to endure, as Christ endured the cross, we need to endure those things that come at us day in and day out. And sometimes the things that we're asked to endure aren't easy. And we need each other to help us. We need each other to make sure that we don't fall, and that we can get back up, and that we can finish the race. A couple of verses out of Matthew. I go to the 10th chapter and the 22nd verse first. It's just one verse. We talk a lot in the Church of Christ of enduring to the end. Which is good. We use the Book of Mormon a lot for that. But it's found also in the Bible. And Jesus even says it as he is talking to his 12. In the 10th chapter of Matthew and in the 22nd verse, and Jesus says, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." And at times when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in certain places, around certain people, don't know as they hate us, but we get scorned and ridiculed. But Jesus said that they would be hated for his name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. They had to endure the race. They had to keep going. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 says the same thing. His disciples ask him when the end times would come and what would be the sign of their coming. And Jesus is explaining to him about wars and rumors of wars and calamities of all types, of famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And that there'll be many that will be offended, and false prophets will rise up to deceive many. And in verse 13 he says, "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." Even in the final days and in the last times, there'll be scoffers and there'll be all kinds of calamities that happen around us. I can't think of a time in my lifetime when there hasn't been a war somewhere. I can't really think of much time in my lifetime that this country hasn't been at war somewhere. There are things that are going on in this nation that greatly bother me. Abortion and the acceptance of homosexuality and all kinds of adverse things that I would have never thought I would have seen in my lifetime. They're there. Now, do I know when the end time is? No, but I have to keep going. I have to stay in the faith, and that faith of believing in Jesus Christ and that hope of His resurrection to eternal life. I'm going to go to the Book of Mormon, page 162. Second Nephi, the 13th chapter. Nephi talks a lot about baptism in this chapter. And I'll start in verse 24. You know, speaking of races, when you get ready to run a race, especially there's a starting line, and in horse races, they get these horses and they put them into gates, they call them. And they're waiting there. And it's not that they haven't been in training to run the race, but they're not in the race yet. But they've been in training. With us, it may be studies, learning the Word of Christ, learning about Jesus and His gospel and what He expects of us. For in verse 24 it says, "For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Ye have entered in by the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive." The starting gate is repentance and baptism. It's not the end of the race. And now, my beloved brethren, And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask, is all done? If all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly on the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endureth to the end, Behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. The promise is there that if we make it across the finish line, still enduring in the faith of Jesus Christ, that the promise is there of eternal life. Now, before we get in the gate, we do have to have a faith that Jesus is who he said he was. But yet we're not in the race yet because the gates haven't opened. We haven't entered in through the gates yet. And it's my understanding at that time that we're still spectators. You know, there comes a time when you've got to stop being a spectator and you've got to get in the race. You've got to get on the path. You've got to enter in through repentance and baptism. And then you're on that path that leads to eternal life. God's not slacking his promises. If he says it's so, it's so. I'd like to flip over to page 674. It'd be 3 Nephi, the 13th chapter. And this is Jesus. And he's speaking and he is giving the people his gospel. He's giving them his good news. I'm going to read verse 29 and 30. That's part of his good news. It's part of Christ's gospel where he says, "And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world." We get on that path through repentance and baptism. And then we endure on that path. We keep ourselves as spotless as possible. Spotless. The best we can. And we endure in that. It says that he will hold us guiltless before the Father come judgment day. And he also goes on, and he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father, and this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. You get on that path, you've got to stay on it. If you walk out of the race, you don't get to finish. Just like this young man I was talking about, took off at 100 miles an hour every time. Every time. He never finished a race. He didn't have the endurance that it took to stay focused on the goal he had before him. If I were to say the names Jason, Missy, Robertson, would anybody know who I'm talking about? Have you heard of Duck Dynasty? I heard an interview with this couple on a radio station called K-Love. Actually, I watched the interview online. It was enjoyable to see a Christian couple profess their faith. This is one of the younger sons of the family that puts on the show. I have never watched the show, but I have read things about this family that are very interesting. They seem to be a very Christian family, and in the way that they raised their kids. This couple said that they had married young, but that they were virgins until their wedding night. And in that interview, Chase said that when he and Missy were married, that they had a godly agreement that they would help each other get to heaven. What a pact to make with your spouse, that you would help each other to get to heaven. The closest accountability partner you'll ever have besides God is your spouse, hopefully. That you can hold each other accountable in a godly way to endure to the end and to gain that prize of eternal life. Because we do need each other as brothers and sisters to help us to finish the race and to get to heaven. I need each and every one of you to keep me on track. Because there are times I veer off very easily. And I let each and every one of you hold me accountable for my actions. It doesn't feel good to get chastised, but I'd rather be chastised for doing wrong and get helped back on that straight and narrow path than to veer off and not make it to the end. I'd rather endure the embarrassment of somebody helping me out in those times when I start to go astray. Because I want heaven. That's where I want to end up for eternity. I don't want hell. I know enough about hell that it's not a place any of us even want to imagine being forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Everlasting is forever. It's never ending. Never ending. And I would rather spend it in heaven in glory, as the rest of you would also. So, I need your help. Each and every day, in some way. Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter. I know I'm in the wrong book. I'm getting ready for the next one. Ecclesiastes, the 4th chapter, verses 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. We need help. We need each other drastically. If you're ever in a state to where you reach hypothermia, you need somebody else and you need their body heat to keep you alive. If you're out there and you stumble and fall spiritually, you need somebody to come alongside and to help you, as they did with this Sanderson fellow in the story. To help lighten your spiritual burden, you might say. To help all of us to make it to the end. Galatians, the 6th chapter. Verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we find somebody overtaken in a fault, especially a brother or sister, do we kick them while they're down? Do we gossip about the problem that they've had? Do we make them feel lower than the dust of the earth? Or do we try to restore them in the spirit of meekness? The spirit of helping them feel like they know they've done wrong. I know when I goof up. I just need sometimes it brought to my attention and slapped a little bit to get my attention back. But considering ourselves, lest we also fall to the same temptations. Helping each other out. That's why we're called brothers and sisters. Page 259 in the Book of Mormon. The ninth chapter of Mosiah. I'll start at the 38th verse. Set the scene a little bit. This is Alma, the father of Alma. And he was part of King Noah's group. King Noah was a bad king. He's the one that burnt Abinadi at the stake. And Alma was around to hear the words which Abinadi had preached. And when things went awry, they scattered into the wilderness, and he started what you might call a church in the wilderness. They met in secret so that King Noah's men couldn't find them and do harm to them. In verse 38, and it came to pass that he said unto them, behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called. And now as you are desirous to come into the fold of God and be called his people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times, and in all places, and in all things, and in all places that ye may be in, even unto death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. You know, when you've studied and you're standing at the gate, and they ask you, are you willing to help bear other people's burdens? Are you willing to mourn with them when they're mourning? And to rejoice with them when they're rejoicing? I'd say that we would say yes. Because Alma asks them, now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have ye against being baptized in the name of the Lord, as a witness before him that ye have entered into the covenant with him, that you will serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour out his spirit more abundantly upon you? And this group of people said, yes, that's what we want. We want to enter in by the gate. We want to get on the path. We want to get in the race. We're tired of being bystanders. We want to be there. We want to finish the crossing line. We want eternal life. And I hope that's each and every one of our desires. You know, in 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter, Paul talks about the body. He mentions many members of the body, the eye and the ear, then that the eye can't be the foot, and that all these different members make up one body. We're all different. I'm not the same as D.A., and I know he's not the same as me, nor Darren, nor Roger, nor anybody in here. God made us all different. Each and every one of us, he made us different. But yet, when we take upon us the name of Christ through baptism, we are of that body of believers, and we are one group. And when one of us hurts, we all hurt. And one of us rejoices. When we see one of us get married, a young one, we rejoice with them. When we go to funerals because of a lost loved one, we mourn with them. Verse 26, and whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We're one body, and we're going to make it, each and every one of us. If we stub our toe, we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to keep going, and we're going to make it across that finish line. I'm going to finish this with something Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, the second letter that he wrote Timothy, in the fourth chapter. And I hope this is each and every one of us that we can say this when we see our last days coming in front of us. When we see that finish line up there and we know that we're going to make it. Each and every one of us are going to see that. Each and every one of us are going to come to the end of our life someday. Each and every one of us is going to see that finish line up there. And I hope each and every one of us want eternal life. Because Paul goes on to say in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, in the sixth verse, he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He looked at his life, and he saw the things that were in it, probably the good and the bad. He probably looked at his life and saw that change that happened to him on the road to Damascus. And he saw that he was made anew at that time. He goes on to say that he had fought the good fight, which each and every one of us need to do. Not just beating at the air, as he says in some other place in the scriptures, but fought the good fight, stayed on path, kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Let us be that body of believers that helps each other out. But let us also be willing to be helped out when we know we stand in need of help. That we can finish the race. That we can all be there in heaven. That we can gain that prize of eternal life.